Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
So much about the glory, but the riches of the kingdom, praise God, this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you gratitude and appreciation. Thank you for being so compassionate and being so merciful and being so kind. Lord, we receive your grace. We receive your mercy. We receive the enablement of the Spirit. Lord, thank you for the beautiful atmosphere you've already brought upon us this morning. And we trust you. Lord, I'm going to ride on this anointing and trust you that you will use me, use my tongue as a pen of red writer to inscribe your word and your law in the heart of your children. Let them never be the same again. Transform them. Change them. Lord, we trust you that you would do a work, Lord, in the lives of your children, not only those of them who are here physically, as many that are watching or listening via the technology, and people that will yet receive and listen to this message. Let their lives never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Holy Spirit, we reverence you. Glorify Jesus in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Please come with me. Let me also recognize Pastor Lushola Ogidon. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you for fantastic work. And the entire pastoral team, thank you, thank you, thank you. The Lord God bless and reward you in Jesus' name. Please, could you turn to me to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter, let me just read it from verse 1. The Bible says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Therein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children, in the children of disobedience. Let me draw attention to a few things. The word children here is actually the word sons, from the original context. That's from the Greek sense of the word. We must know that the scripture in the New Testament was originally captured in Greek. So he's not talking about little children. He's not talking about all you stubborn children. There is a spirit that is at work in you, children of disobedience. It's not talking about children. It's talking about mature. You know, the concept of what you, sonship, is not gender disparity. It's a concept of maturity, the concept of stature. So he's talking about people that depravity, that the word disobedience is the word obstinate. And he's taking from the word apithia. It means obstinate. That is opposition to an established, if the will of God is here, this is where it will turn. So there is a spirit that triggers that such rebellion in the soul of man. So he's telling us that that spirit is feeding from the heavenlies. The what spirit, the system that is feeding that spirit and such disposition is coming from the intangible dimension of existence. It's the prince of the power of the air. The word air there is taken from the word hose, which means, rather the word air, which means to send out signal. It's sending signal. And once the receiver is there, there is such imposition of satanic program that can pass through the soul of man. So Satan can infiltrate humanity. So such rebellious tendencies constitute the individual to become gates of hell. still talks about the gates of hell. The gates of hell. The gates of heaven or the windows of heaven are not physical access points. They are access points that exist in the soul of man, in which if it is double-clicked, a certain program becomes, you know, widespread in the earth. Praise God. So there's an investment of hell that makes human being to become an asset to the kingdom of darkness. Praise God. The same with God. There are certain investments in God that makes us to become gates of heaven. God is raising gates of heavens in the earth. God is not interested in having his children to be spectators. God isn't interested in having his children to be... You see, the concept of neutrality is what religion brings. Where you are not good, you are not bad. You know what I mean by that? You are just naturally useful to yourself. There's nothing like that. You know what I mean by that? You are responsible. You're going about your own business. You did not hurt anybody. You provide, you fend for your family and you're doing well and all that. You are not, and you do not make any contributory impact to the kingdom of God. And you are, you know, to be such a nobody is unacceptable in the realm of the spirit. You become victims of activities of darkness in the heavenlies. Praise God. That's not where we're focusing on. Let's go straight to verse 4. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened, let someone say quickened, quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That's why I say why. Why did Christ die for us? Why did he redeem us from sin? Isn't that so? Why did God pay the ultimate price, sending his only begotten son? Why did he invest in us what is called the quickening spirit, by which we have been raised from death to life? Isn't that so? Why? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is the reason. That is the reason. That in the ages, let's not say in the ages. So there are many ages. Let me give you an example of an age. Time itself is an age. Praise God. The word age is the word is the word aeon. And sometimes aeon could describe time. In other times, aeon could describe eternity, actually. So, in the dispensation of ages to come, God wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness through us. Through who? Through the Lord Jesus? No, it's through us, the church. Praise God. And that's the reason why he paid such a heavy price for our redemption, for our salvation. Praise God. That's the reason. So the eternal plan of God is very obvious, very very basic here, we could see that the eternal plan of God and eternal glory of God are locked up in the redemption. Isn't that so? That the eternal plan of God and the eternal glory of God are what? Locked up in the redemption, the cross. It's also obvious here that the riches of Christ and the glory of Christ are concealed in the mercy that raised us from death to life. Isn't that so? The riches of Christ and the glory of God are concealed in the mercy that raised us from dead to life. Hallelujah, somebody. And it is also obvious that the ultimate agenda of heaven is the showcasing of the riches of his glory through the church. Isn't that so? The ultimate agenda of the kingdom is what? The showcasing of the riches of the eternal glory of God through the church. And to what end? Why does he want to showcase his glory through us, his people? The scripture tells us, you remember the scripture, this narration started by the operation by which satanic power and satanic kingdom have been able to subtly preserve rebellion in the earth and turn mankind against God. Isn't that so? And infiltrate existence in this realm. But this is the plan of God by which God is going to undo the agenda of darkness. So, the reason why he wants to showcase his glory through the church is because God wants to stun and stupefy principalities of darkness. Praise God. He wants to break their control over mankind. He wants to shatter the influence and their legality, the authority they have over humanity. That's the reason for the showcasing of his glory. Praise God. The reason why God is all about showcasing his glory through the church is to stun and stupefy the principalities and powers, spirits in the heavenlies, the spirit that manipulates the activities and the run of events right here on earth. The Lord wants to do that. And what is the kingdom? The question, another question you may want to ask is that, what is the kingdom consequence of the showcasing of his glory? The kingdom consequence for the showcasing of his glory. Let me direct us to this before we go into that. I probably will read that scripture later, Ephesians 3. But let me make reference to verse 10 of Ephesians 3, where the Bible says that to the intent, remember the context is the mysteries of Christ, amen, meant to be triggered by the dispensation of grace, is to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to what? Principalities and powers. Let's say God's manifold wisdom. The word manifold is a word that means multifaceted, variety. It changes colors, textures, and form every time. Praise God. But the primary thing is that such display will not happen if the stature of wisdom is not attained Isn't that so? The Bible says so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to principalities and powers by Christ Jesus. No, through the church. Oftentimes, we always ask for the Lord God of Elijah. We want him to demonstrate his power. We even sing about him. God of Elijah, come and show yourself. And we don't know that many a times the God of Elijah is incapacitated. Because instead he is looking for Elijahs. Where are the Elijahs of? That is the cry of heaven. Where are the Elijahs of God? Praise God. If God can see people who are brave, and God can see people who will consecrate themselves, if God can find people that will place God first, who will love not their lives unto death, the kingdom will show off. The kingdom will be revealed. The glory and the riches of the kingdom will manifest. So God is seeking for a man. God is longing for a people. Praise God. Because it is through the church that the manifold wisdom of God will stop looking down on ourselves. Heaven is not pleased with a certain kind of leadership. Certain kind of leadership that turns the people of God to beggars. Certain kind of leadership that encourage the worship. You remember in the Old Testament, God always frowned at worship that takes place on high places. Praise God. God does not want any other high praise places mounted in the heart of his people. There should be only one high place. Praise God. Jehovah should be our high place. And Jehovah is only our high place when our allegiance is completely sold out to him. That's the reason why the first commandment is worship no other God. God cannot stand idolatry. And a whole lot of idolatry is taking place in the church. And mind you, idolatry is not the primitive act of setting one image and bowing down to it. Idolatry is what we give our heart to. Praise God. It's about allegiance. It's about loyalty. God is not pleased when money is lifted. He is not pleased when the needs of his people are lifted higher than God. The content and the focus of our activity, our prayer, our devotion must be God. Learning and understanding his ways. Who God is must be magnified among his people. We must be committed to worshiping him day and night. Worship is not in the singing of the song. There's a devotional aspect of worship. Worship is about allegiance. Worship is about alignment with his will. So that should be the primary focus of our prayer. Our corporate prayer is about aligning God's people with God. Our primary prayer is about tearing down every idol in the heart. Primary prayer, focus in prayer, in the teaching of the word. Not many of this nonsense that is taking place in the church. And you know something, when you focus on proclaiming, teaching, and practicing nonsense, don't be deceived. You will gather crowd. See, a whole lot of, and you, the Satan has mastered the art of reinventing nonsense. Idols. During the pandemic, some people started some prayer movement. You know, we know what the mountain of prayer, fire kind of prayer did to the church. And I appreciate Dr. Luke Oya. He's a great man of God. Praise God. The only unfortunate thing is that when our prayer is enemy focused, the people will be deprived of God. Praise God. And that is not the kind of warfare that is recommended for us in the Word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but not the supposed wealth warfare that actually stigmatizes the standard of God's truth and the kingdom. Not the supposed warfare that actually compromises the love of God in the heart of his people. Praise God. Then during the lockdown, we see what is going on. And we see the kind of prayer movement that is taking to another level. And that is what people spend time screaming. And when you pray that kind of prayer, that is focused, people focused, need oriented. And it is now seen that you can do some sort of intercessory prayer and stimulate people towards giving undue attention to their problems and their needs. And you put prayer requests. Only God knows whether they are true prayer requests. And put a whole bunch of them. And you ask people to be sending their prayer requests. You know, it annoys my spirit. And you to say, money, money, money. You can be saying that for 1 hour. And the way you two, you are connecting. Money, money, money. Problem, problem. Enemy, enemy. I'll make it, I'll make it. Huh. Are we such idiots? We can't even read in between the lines. It's shocking. I was somewhere. The kind of popular words that is flying around through such prayer, a couple of it. You know, I really don't know the men of God, so I don't want to judge them. But I'm telling you, it's a negative fruit. The impact and that we see in the lives of the people is diabolical. And somewhere someone told me, like, the word of God says what God cannot do does not exist. He said that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. So I told him that the Bible also says, heaven help those who help themselves. And the guy didn't even know that. But probably just like, yes, then only. I said, we are in trouble. Praise God. The Lord is going to claim the place of his supremacy back in the body of Christ. And he's doing so with fire. The many altars is going to burn into ashes. There are many structures that the Lord our God is going to judge. He's going to smash down the graven images. And the Lord will liberate his people. We'll see the power of God. That's the reason why we must be strengthened in our faith. The remnant of God must be strong. Everywhere where truth is the center of attention, we must be strong and await the coming of the Lord, because it's going to come. And when it comes, it will come again and come again and come again. Praise God. We will see the showing up of the Lord, the revelation of his glory in this end of the age. And that's the reason why we've got to sit up. Let those who seek God and call upon him, let them depart from iniquity. Iniquity does not necessarily mean sin, as in like capital or literal sin. Iniquity is illegality. Praise God. Any form of lawlessness, anything that compromises the standard of God to you, in your heart, anything that brings you, your focus away from him, praise God. We've got to seek his name and seek his face and serve the Lord with gladness. And if we're going to be entrusted with the riches of his glory, our soul must be quickened from death to life. That has already happened in our spirit, isn't that? Our soul must be constantly quickened. our mortal bodies. He wants to deal with mortality and frailty and decay. He wants to reverse that in us. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. The Bible says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodly to Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, and I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, there are enemies for your sake. They are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." That this is the reason. It's because of the election that I always support Israel. And I said, look at the Palestinians. They are suffering. They are the minorities. They are these. They are these. So that you have to be careful. They practice terrorism. Praise God. I always support Israel first. I do pray for the Palestinians. I even pray for, what do you call it? The Taliban. Is it? No, not the Taliban. I've not come around to pray for the Taliban. The other ones, the other terrorists in Hamas. I pray for them and trust that God will open their eyes and set them free. Amen. Verse 30. Excuse me, 29. For the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times of past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded that all in unbelief, that it might have mercy upon all. Now this is the old thing. So the scripture says, you don't worry about it. Israel have lost it. They no longer believe in God. They are, so to say, offended in God. And God is going to use the Gentiles coming to faith to provoke Israel unto jealousy. Praise God. And the Bible, the technology or the depth of the wit with which God is bringing the nations to himself is what the Bible called the depth of his riches. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable as his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor, or who had first given to him, and he shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and through him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Praise God. So the Bible is telling us that, let me just paraphrase it. God wants you and I to be privy to the depth of the riches of Christ. God wants you and I to be partners in his wisdom and knowledge, so that that we will be lifted in the spirit and elevated to the council of heaven, where we can share the mind of God and we can reason with him and be counselors, praise God, through which his agenda, prophetic agenda and intent can become prevalent in the earth. That is what he wants for the church. That's the plan of God. The church is not a religious center. The church is not a place where you learn to become pious. Instead, the church is a movement, the coming together of his people, where the Spirit of God can be at work, changing people. The church, the centrality of the activities of God in the church must be about change, must be about equipping, must be about training, must be about building, so that we will become instrumental to bring into pass his plans and his purposes. God is not seeking for onlookers. God is truly demanding of us consecration. It is consecration that is born, not consecration out of being pious and being religious, but consecration that is based on the working of the Spirit on the inside of us, whereby we are being changed. Praise God. Because as the Spirit of God is at work in us and we are being changed, God is opening the eyes of our understanding. The standards are being raised. And as the standards are being raised, then we're receiving the grace to align to him. Cleansing is taking place. Purging is taking place. Purification is taking place. Then we can be entrusted with the glory. And the whole world can be changed through us. Praise God. That's what God is about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Praise God. So it's important that we understand what the riches of his glory or the riches of Christ is all about. You know, I like the way the Holy Spirit through Paul captured it. They call it riches of his glory. Of course, we know the word glory is taken from the word doxa in Greek, which means the weightiness of God, the depth of God, the substance of God. What make God who he is his glory. Praise God. That is when God, when the essence of God becoming his regalia. Praise God. God is putting on his word, his glory, his power to show forth himself. That's what the glory of God is. Praise God. The word riches, when the Bible uses the word riches of his glory, you know, you remember Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, 17. He said that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus might give unto you, might grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. And that wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him will open, will sensitize and open the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our perception, so that we will be able to know or comprehend and apprehend certain things. Those things include the hope of his calling. That's I calling, not the hope of my calling. My calling to ministry is not your calling to ministry. It is the hope of his calling. Praise God. And then the Bible said the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. So I love the word riches of his glory. Let's not say riches of his glory. So the word riches there is taken from the Greek word plutos. And the word plutos means, first of all, it's not, you know, in the English sense, it's an adjective that is modifying or describing the noun glory. But in the way it is written, since it was originally taken in Greek, it's not, it is acting both as an adjective and as the primary object in itself. So that's why the word riches there, for the word pluto, means wealth. Wealth. The word means substance. The word pluto is taken from the word pluto. And the word plato means to fill to the brim, to fill to overflow. So that's the wealth of God. God wants to pour his totality into us. Praise God. Without any reservation. God wants to pour himself. He wants to lavish himself on us. So then the word riches itself is self-descriptory. It's a description of the wealth of God. The word Pluto also means the word immensity. Immensity. Inestimable value. Praise God. So the glory of God, the wealth of God, when I came yesterday, Pastor Shea, he was describing that. It's not anything that could be estimated in figure. Praise God. Anything that can be assessed. So how much is Bill Gates worth? How much is, what's his name again? Jeff Bezos worth? As much as you can say, they are worth so amount of dollars. All that they're worth does not in any way equate not an atom of the riches of his glory. Because it is inestimable. Praise God. The immensity of the glory of God cannot be comprehended with human mind. Cannot be comprehended. That is beyond. That's why the Bible would tell us it is incorruptible. Praise God. It is undefiled. Praise God. That is the glory. That is our inheritance in Christ Jesus. That's awesome. That's powerful. Oftentimes, the wealth of God is revealed in the earth as anything money cannot buy. Praise God. You know that the founder of Apple, Steve Jobs died of, is it cancer? With all the wealth, you could have thought that wealth could employ the services of the best medical experts in the world and get the best of the best technology to reverse the condition. Sickness has no respect for wealth. The earthly wealth, when sickness flies, the wealth disintegrates. Then that's not the real wealth. We have access to the real wealth. It is called the riches of his glory. We have access to the riches of his glory. That is what God will use to turn the world around. When after the earthly wealth has failed man, they will long for what cannot be matched by any power, any challenge, futility of human soul. They will seek for the riches of his glory. Praise God. And that's why if there's any time the church should invest in acquiring the riches of his glory, it is now. It's already ours, but God has got to download it into your soul. Praise God. God has got to do what? Download it into our soul. That is what the church will use to turn the world around. Because when Paul was asking us to pray, he said three things you need. The first one has got to do with the hope of the high calling. The second one is the riches of the glory of inheritance in us. His inheritance in us. And the third one is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. That power is not the power that raises the dead. It's not the power that heals the sick. It's the power that raises the dead in you. And is the power that heals the sick in you. It's the power by which your identity is restored. It's the power by which we stand in the face of pressure and we will not bow down to the idols of this world. It's the power that resists every form of duress. Every form of duress and pressure. And in the face of threats, we will reaffirm the pledge of allegiance to God. That was what Pastor Shea was saying to us. That is power. It is with that power the dead will be raised. It is with that power every hope that is lost in the earthly dimension is going to be restored. But first, you must have a higher form of hope. You know what I mean by that? There's the hopelessness that man goes through. Your father no get money. They no get no name in your family. You know, there are different levels of hopelessness. There's the person that the father and mother died right in front of you. So there's even nobody to look up to. Praise God. But we don't realize that all of us, we all leveled up. I don't know whether your father is alive, your father is there. Your father is not alive. You never grew up with your dad anymore. Never have any authority figure. You were never instructed. You were never shaped values on you. You were just as empty as anything. And anything that they dumped on you. But some of us that we even have our father, even though they gave us a little bit of moral values, a lot of times, the level of control sometimes is outrageous. And because they tell you that, tell them, I am not at home. And when you say that, my daddy said, I should tell you, you are not at home. So I'll kill you today. I'll kill you today. So that was the day that a significant measure of death was passed on to you. Because you now understand, you have gone to the university of lie and falsehood. You know that when they say, go and lie for me, you don't tell that they say, I should go and lie for you. That's not what they meant. You are graduating already. And that was just the beginning. And they keep passing on all sorts of values. And they tell you that you don't trust man. And then when you say, they tell you that when you occupy any position, take care of yourself first. And they, you know, they keep warped societal values. Cause serious damage in us. Praise God. But as we begin to gravitate towards Zion and begin to know him and make Jesus Christ the author and the finisher of our faith and look up to him, as we look up to him, hope is restored. Hope is replaced. The hope of his eye calling. When as we begin to comprehend and apprehend the hope of his eye calling, it begins to reshape our perception of our identity. Reshape, it begins to do a work of diatosis on the inside of us, which is structural adjustment, praise God, of perception, mentality, attitude, and character. Praise God. The dealing of God is triggered by the hope of his calling. If the church is bereaved of the hope of his calling, we are useless. Because without the hope of his calling, there is no working on the inside. There is no transformative work on the inside of us. We can carry power, powered in a dysfunctional vessel. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's what God is up to. He's doing a work in us so that we will be able to carry the riches of the glory of his kingdom. Praise God. It's by it who will change the world. The scripture tells us in that portion of the Bible we read, in Romans chapter 11, you know, is it 33 downward? Said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let someone say the wisdom and knowledge of God. So that means the riches of his glory is embedded in the wisdom and what? The knowledge of God. Can we say that together? The riches of his glory is what? Is embedded in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Without acquiring the wisdom and knowledge of God, we cannot operate in the riches of his glory. Praise God. The divine life is wrapped up in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The divine life is wrapped up in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So that strikes me that the more insight of the wisdom and the knowledge of God we have, the more the life of God, Zoe, is dispensed to us. The more insight we have into the wisdom and knowledge of God, the more what? The life of God, Zoe, is dispensed to us. Amen. So the attitude God requires of us, the act disposition towards him, has got to be that of inquisitiveness, that of curiosity in the spirit. Praise God. Let's look at Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 4 6, something like that. I love the scripture. It says, one thing have I desired of the... Let me say one thing. You know, I think it's Miss Yelda that does one thing conference. You know, is it Miss Yelda or what's it called? What's my Biko's ministry? They normally do one thing conference every year. It's a place to worship and then receive the word of God. Amen. So enjoy and experience the atmosphere of the spirit through the word and through worship. Now, this, the word wanting here is taken from the Hebrew word ekad. And the word ekad means first priority. We don't come into wanting until we make the kingdom our priority. Praise God. You know, Barrister Jamie Lone was telling us today that when you go late, you come late to church, but you hurry to your workplace, says a lot about our value system, and says a lot about where we have placed God, and says a lot about where we are in God. We could be any other place, but not in the kingdom. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. There's many things. You see, it is like the choices we make in life. You can use that to identify where I am. Praise God. So it's very straightforward and simple. When I place first what the Gentiles, what they crave first, what they crave for is what I place first. It says a lot about where I am in God. Definitely not in the kingdom. Seek ye for what? Seek is what? Pluto, which means prioritize. You prioritize God. God first. And that's what God wants us. God wants to make in our lives, with our lives. But it's a gem, don't say it again. You know, I think when we're coming and listening in the car, it said something like, you could use money to buy data or buy fuel, and, you know, you fuel your gel, your gem, and you could watch a movie and buy data and burn it on several hour series. You want to catch up. But you will not use your money to stream the word of God. You could be any other place, but not in the kingdom. Praise God. The kingdom will cost you something. You know, the kingdom of this world costs people something. You can't say to you, you invest in Satan. your family, you probably will be in some nightclub. You don't know what's going on with your children and your wife. You are in certain nightclub. You spend so much money womanizing, so much money doing all sorts of obscene things. To serve Satan is costly. But when we talk about God, religious spirit is working hand in hand with satanic power. And then they teach us that, is it not God? You give the worst offering to God. The offering you will not use to buy refreshment is what you give to God. Then you need to repent. You need to make an adjustment. When we bring out our worst for God, you know what Malachi said? Prophetic instruction. What you have in your hand to give to God, try it first with your governor. Send it to him on his birthday. If you will not do that, don't try that with God. God only deserves our best. God does not require for anything but your best. Many of us, our offerings are not acceptable. They are waste. You give God the best of your life, the best of your time. You know how much time you put into developing and working on your PhD thesis. But when it comes to God, you give God your leftover when you are useless after 6 hours movie. You know, I'm so tired. Satan loves those kind of Christians. Praise God. You know what the psalmist said? Early in the morning, I will offer my sacrifice to God. It was activating principle. God said, you said something to me. It is not possible for God to fill up your heart and fill up your soul and fill up your life. One thing about God, God is a jealous God. If God occupies the center of your heart, there are no room for Satan. You know what I mean by that? Who said, this fellow is so spiritual, he's different. He has known God from his childhood. He's different. He will not, we understand that one is different. I am not like that. Who told you are not like that? God made you like that. There's a part, a place in you that is reserved for God. You are denying God. Nobody has the power to resist sin. But there is a shaped, God-shaped hole in the soul of every man. It cannot be satisfied with alcohol, with womanizing, with pleasure. It cannot even be filled up with education. It's okay to get educated. It's okay to acquire a degree. It's okay to develop yourself. If you are using it to develop yourself. If it is an attempt to fill up the craving of the soul, you have made a mistake. If the God-shaped hole is occupied by God, by the Word, by the love for God, there is no room for the world. There is no room for Satan. It becomes resisting temptation becomes a walk over. Not because you are anything special. You have given God his place. Praise God. That's why I say one thing. The word echad also means alight. Alight. So that is a description of the higher calling. Praise God. The higher calling is being in, coming into oneness with God. If we definitely give God the one thing, praise God, then your heart is going to desire God. The word desire is taken from the word passionate craving for God. Let somebody say passionate craving for God. It's a passionate craving for God. It's longing for God. It's worship. in Hebrew. That's passion for God. The desire will well up. The desire will well up. It will be natural. God will fill it up. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That the Bible says, and what that one thing will I seek. Let one say seek. The word seek is taken from the Hebrew of bakash. And the word bakash means inquisitive, curiosity. Praise God. It's a curiosity that leads to consecration. Amen. That's what bakash. Once we cede our allegiance to God, your heart will pant after you. Praise God. And constantly there will be that curiosity, the longing to know him, the longing to find him, the longing. And that is where the power of consecration comes from. Praise God. And that's the will of God for us. God wants us to serve him not with the emptiness of heart. He wants to serve him with that curiosity, that longing to know him, to know his ways, to know his will. Amen. If we're going to be entrusted with the riches of his glory, God must occupy the center stage of our life. The center stage. That's the place of worship. If God is allowed to occupy the center stage of your life, self is bound to bow. Self is bound to what? To bow. I love the way Paul put it. He said, to him, of him, for of him, through him, and for him are all things. That's awesome, powerful. And that's the kind of people God wants us to be. When God occupies the center stage of our lives, the burden is incited. It is the burden of the Lord that incites in us the willingness to die to self. It's only the Holy Spirit that supplies that burden. When God, it's only when God occupies the center of our lives, the burden of the Lord incites the summon to die to self. The burden of the Lord cultivates the fear of the Lord in us. Praise God. And then God's glory could be revealed. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Read from this one. The Bible says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. The word prisoner is a key word. It's taken from the root word. It's derived from the word desmules. The word desmules means being incarcerated for a value. A cause. Praise God. To be incarcerated for a cause. Praise God. That is, you are standing for something and then you are being punished. Your shackles is being, you know, and you are being chained, you know, taken away from you, your liberty, your freedom. Praise God. Simply because of what you are standing for. So the word prisoner of Christ is talking about someone that is incarcerated for a cause. Praise God. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have what? Heard of what? The dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Another key word I want you to know is the word dispensation. Let's want to say dispensation. The word dispensation is taken from the Greek word oikonomia. The word oikonomia means economy of grace. Economy of grace. The word oikonomia means stewardship of divine purpose. Stewardship of divine purpose, economy of grace. So if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me what? The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So two things go hand in hand. The first one is what? Revelation. Let's say revelation. The second one is what? Mystery. The word revelation is what? Apocalypto, which means secret revealed. I mean, rather, disclosure. You know, something concealed, being brought to light. Isn't that? And then the word mystery is taken from the word mysterion. Mysterion means, you know, hidden secret that is only shared within people who exist within a clique. It's shared among people within the same clique, the same caucus, among people within, you know, the same inner circle, praise God, within circle, people within the same caucus, people within a clique, praise God. That's what mystery is. Let's read on. 4. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand what? My knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not what? Made known unto the sons of men. So we see, it's like talking about children of disobedience the other time. So this one says sons of men. The word sons of men here are people who have gained stature and influence out there in the world system. They are kings. Praise God. Men and women of authority. They are the ones that shape the natural course of life. But yet, this is concealed to them. Praise God. The Bible says it's now being revealed to what? His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, interestingly, you know, in another scripture, I don't know whether it's even here, God eventually revealed it to the saints. So it's as if it came through his apostles and prophets. So that means the apostolic and prophetic are very key. They are like, they bridge the gap to help the church. God wants to convey something to the church. He has devised and he has, you know, sort of invented a vehicle through which it will be passed on to the church. It is called the apostles and prophets. So that completely changed the concept of who a prophet is and who an apostle is. Praise God. In the New Testament. Let's look at verse 6. The Bible says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Gentiles be fellow heirs, partakers of the same promise in gospel. Let's read on. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So in other words, it is from this mystery that God turned humanity and made Gentiles. And that is unimaginable by the, what do you call it again? By what? The Jewish order. When you follow Judaism, it is unimaginable. Because the Gentiles and the nations are considered to be dogs, outcasts. It is out of this mystery, just a glimpse of this mystery, that God brought this forth. Praise God. And that's the same impact the full blown of this mystery is going to have upon humanity. Praise God. Let's read it on. Verse 8. Unto me whom I am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So what the scripture is saying, Paul is telling us, that when this mystery get done on you, you don't become normal. In fact, these mysteries will never be entrusted to you if you are not considered by yourself the least among the saints. So without a broken spirit, without humility, this, the weight of this glory will not rest on you. And when this, the riches of this mystery, when you come into the place of understanding and perception of this, you don't become the same again. Your message is changed. You don't preach any jargon. You don't preach to make money. You don't preach to gather crowd. You don't live to impress people. Everything about you changes. Your message becomes defined. You only preach Christ. You only preach His kingdom. That's not to say you only preach Christ as a subject matter. But I'm talking about in terms of theme of your message, theme of your proclamation. I'm talking about emphasis, the core content. Praise God. It has got to be Christ's kingdom. The governing principles by which the life you live is coming from is Christ and His kingdom. You can't live anyhow. You can't cheat. You don't have the right. Your actions and conduct are streamlined. Praise God. Let's read on. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's what all men will see. You see, the church is going to demonstrate this mystery, and all men will see. That is where we're gravitating towards. Praise God. The world is about to see the brightness of the kingdom, the glory of Christ like never before. And that's why God is raising a people that will trigger this in the earth. That's where the scripture says, to the intent that principalities and powers in heavenly places may be made known. It might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Praise God. Let's see how much ground we'll cover in breaking this down, and then we'll wrap it up there. Praise God. So clearly from what we have read and a bit of explanation we have seen, we could see that the economy of grace and the stewardship of divine purpose is heaven's strategy to advancing His kingdom in the earth. God wants to advance His kingdom in the earth, isn't that? Remember the cry the Lord Jesus made? When you pray, the centrality of your prayer should be thy kingdom come, isn't that? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God will not come until, first of all, you that will serve as the access point is made. Praise God. The kingdom of God will not come until where? There's a trigger point. And what constitutes this trigger point? Alignment of our will to the will of God. So that's why we say that the strategies by which God is going to advance His kingdom in the earth is called the economy of grace and what? The stewardship of divine purpose. Now we must also understand that the economy of grace and stewardship of divine purpose, or the riches of God's glory, is only entrusted to those who are being incarcerated by the higher calling. You get that? The riches of His glory. The riches and the glory of God are only entrusted to those who are being incarcerated by the higher purpose. Praise God. The higher calling, people who are being incarcerated, those are the ones that are being trusted with the riches of His glory. Amen. Now when we talk about being incarcerated by the higher purpose, what that simply means is that the mandate for which you are existing is centered on Christ. Christ becomes the definition of your life. Praise God. You know, just like we said that, well, Des Mills, that's the prisoner of Christ. You know, that's the opening of this chapter. Paul said that I, the prisoner of Christ. When we're dealing with the dispensation of God, we're dealing with the economy of his grace. See, God doesn't waste spiritual resources. The people he will entrust his glory for are people whose will are sold out to his own will. Who have been incarcerated. They are being incarcerated by their higher calling. Praise God. Those are the ones he's going to entrust his glory to. That's what God is doing in there. He's raising a people. You see, the whole essence, you know, the scripture says something, talking about Christ, his ascension. Do you know it's amazing? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when he was going to talk about the fivefold ministry, he linked the functionality of the fivefold ministry gift to the captivity of God's people. He led captivity captive and gave gifts. The gift he gave are not their ascension gift. They are not, they are not manifestation gift. Manifestation gift is what the Bible says, the gift of the Spirit. That's, the word gift is what charisma will actually mean divine endowment. So it's not endowment. Praise God. The gift he gave to man, duria. Amen. So it's not endowment. It's a gift by which he exchanged something for something. Praise God. That's what he gave to man. So let me not go into that. But what's important is that the ministry gift is connected with the captivity of the church. He led captivity. People were captive. You know, your value system. Satan pressed something and it set you in motion. He pressed something. He controls your thoughts, your life, your action, simply because he owns your thoughts. He has shaped your thoughts. Praise God. He's held in captivity. The same thing, he can dump some stuff on you because you are enemy's captive. Praise God. But the essence of fivefold ministry gift is to reverse that and set us free. You know, when the Lord said, he first of all said, come to me, all you that are what? Labor and every leading, then I will set you free. Isn't that? He's going to remove the burden and the yoke. The concept of burden and yoke is so powerful. You see, the burden you put on, you know, is an agricultural concept, you know, where you get bull muscle to plow your ground. So the heavy laden you put on the animal is what is used to plow the, is the strength of the animal you use, isn't that? Well, of course, there's a couple of principles there. One of the principles is that to create stability, you need at least two animals. Praise God. And you can't use bull and cat. You've got to use animals of equal leading. Isn't that so? So that's the reason why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. Amen. There are some believers, you do not even be unequally yoked with them. You must share the same core conviction and value system. You owe nothing to any man but love. Love everybody. But when it comes to divine purpose, when it comes to the relationship at certain levels, don't get yoked with people who don't share your values, who don't share your core convictions. Praise God. I know a lot of marriages that are suffering because of that. They are in with believers. I don't want to even mention one that is very painful that's happening recently. People who don't share your core convictions, who don't share your core value, will cause you pain. They will cause you anguish. So that's not where we're going. Now, the burden that is put on the animal, if you want to relieve the animal, you remove the burden, isn't that so? The animal is free. He can have a life. But when you put the body in the morning, okay, get going. in the evening. That's what the animal is existing for. But you need to get the body in us. Then the word of God then goes on to say that they may remove the body. Seasoner, when another season for plowing the farm comes, you introduce it again. Actually, in the primitive times, it is said, it's still been practiced in some parts of the world. When the animal, for the animal to become useless for you, you have to get rid of the yoke. The yoke is the belt around the neck. And the animal grows to an age where the yoke is snatched. At that stage, the yoke, the animal is no longer useful. Something has been lost that you can make use of. When there is so much fat, it's no longer, it can't carry the team to plow your soil anymore. So, but it happened on its own. When the fat on the neck grows and it smashes it, then the animal is free. It can no longer be used for agricultural purpose. You relieve the animal. They could remove the body, which is what the anointing upon does. Until, you know, they know by the anointing upon. Through the laying on of hands. Miracles. Anointing. You do not, never participated in it. Praise God. You have just experienced the instant sovereign intervention of God. But until the yoke is smashed. The yoke is smashed by fat. You know, when the Bible actually says the yoke is destroyed by the anointing, it's actually fat. Praise God. It is the anointing within. Until the animal matures and grows in stature, the yoke is still there. As long as the yoke is there, fear is there, offense is there. You know, bitterness is there. All of those things are only dealt with when the anointing within that comes by the anointing within dispenses light, understanding, wisdom. You know, we're talking about the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. You know, I love one of the scriptures of Paul I really love is Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 to 11. When he says, may the Lord fill, may you be filled with the knowledge of his will. That is what light does. Communicate the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. You see, every time, in all wisdom and on spiritual understanding, you know, every time we dwell on the knowledge of his will that is revealed by light, understanding or clarity comes. And every time we act upon the knowledge of his will, wisdom comes. When wisdom comes, the life is revealed. Praise God. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we may walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. That's what wisdom does. And be fruitful. Sophia, that's what wisdom does. The word Sophia means the life of character, the character of the knowledge. Praise God. And spiritual understanding. So, God only entrusts the riches of his glory to the people who are incarcerated by the higher calling. What that means is that what you are living for is bigger than you. What did I say? What we're living for has got to be what? Bigger than us. The purpose for our existence must transcend our personal survival. What did I say? The purpose for our existence must transcend our personal survival. How much money you will make. Your ends meet. What is in it for me? What we're living for must be bigger than that. Praise God. Seek it first. Those are the things the Gentiles seek. That's the reason why daily, as the Holy Spirit is dealing with the yoke, on the inside of us, our taste bud is being redefined. God is changing our taste bud. You see, the longing and craving for desperation and survival at all costs must give way. Praise God. The craving and what? Longing for, yes, for desperation and survival at all costs must give way. Our identity, the sense of identity, the sense of identity that is derived from this world system, the sense of identity that is according to the natural order. You know this kind of sense of identity that is according to the natural order. We're talking about when your judgment is based on pedigree. Your judgment is based on status. Your judgment is based on ego. All of those things, that's what people are. That's what they are. I'm talking about the rat race. That's what they are living for. That's what they are craving for. That's what they want to be. And that's what God is getting rid in us. That's what he's dealing with in us. That's what is breaking away from us. Praise God. We want our lives to be totally seeded to his pleasure. He wants us to only exist to bring him glory. Praise God. Our time is fast spent, but let's touch one or two things. And hopefully, we just try to catch up. Can I just have about 5 minutes extra? 5 minutes extra, thereabout. Amen. That's the 5 minutes that I used to greet. Praise God. I spent 5 minutes to greet. And I felt the greeting was short. Praise the Lord. We said something that revelation and the word mysteries of Christ, they all go hand in hand. Amen. You see, the things of God are conveyed through the instrumentality of revelation knowledge. We don't own anything until we come to the perception of it. Praise God. And of course, revelation is the unraveling of the mysteries of Christ. Revelation is what? The unraveling of the mysteries of Christ. Amen. Don't forget the other time we said mysteries are the divine secrets. They are communicated by revelation. And when God communicates his secret and shares his secret with us, it is with the intent of upgrading us in the spirit, bringing us into his inner circle. God wants to bring us to where? The inner circle of God is like it. There's inner circle. Some of us don't even exist anywhere near it. That's why I say, God have mercy. Can you say that again? He's calling us into companionship. He wants us to reason with him. People can reason with him. How do you tell your 3-year-old child, one more equal my yemio, life is tough. Just imagine after all the investment you make in life and the work you make, you do, you offer a lot of training and offer a lot of, professional expertise in the, probably helping people to define things and helping to provide, supervision and helping to offer all sorts of support and services and what do you call it again? There's a word I'm looking for. And all of a sudden, by at the nick of revolutionary change, then they push you into other aspects of responsibility and bring somebody else. What do I do in that kind of situation? Your 3-year-old child. And as of a candy. Candy, Lomaso. Can sugar. as a quick, quick out ice cream. So, praise God. You know, when the scripture described prophets in Amos 3, he said, I will not do anything except I reveal my secret. People think prophetic is all about information. Prophetic is not. What is the intent behind the information? That is the prophetic realm. Now, there's the prophetic, but there is the prophetic. That he wants to raise a prophetic generation. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You know, remember when Moses said, when they talk about prophets, God is going to raise a company of prophets with which he would deliver the nations. And that's what God wants us to be. Praise God. So, the essence of communication of divine secret is to upgrade us spiritually and bring God into God's inner circle where we can deal with both the mind and the heart of God. We can deal with both what? The mind and the heart of God. That is how God is going to raise. You see, the generation God is raising, a generation who are speaking from certain depths. They're speaking from certain understanding. They're speaking from certain level of authority. That is how they will judge the world and judge darkness. That is how they will liberate nations. The Bible says nations are craving, even isn't that what it says? Craving because of what they have been put, they have been kept in what the Bible calls vanity, depravity. There's agony upon the nations. But there's a generation that's going to bring freedom. It's called the Ecclesia. Praise God. Let someone say Ecclesia. That's the purpose of the kingdom. A people that will liberate nations. Hallelujah. So, revelation becomes important. The reason why revelation becomes important, that we do not come into the inner circle of God until where divine secrets are revealed, are exposed to us, and the instrumentality by which the secret of God are unveiled and unraveled is called revelation. Amen. The unraveling of divine mystery is by revelation. Revelation, we must know. Now, two things we must know about revelation. One of it is that revelation is a property of mercy. Let's say revelation is a property of mercy. It is not a function of hard work. Neither is it of, it's not attributed to your intellectual powers. Praise God. It is a property of mercy. Revelation is a property of mercy. That is to say that the only recipient of revelation, for you to be a recipient of revelation, you need a large dosage of humility. What did I say? For us to be a recipient of revelation, we need what? Large dosage of humility. Revelation doesn't come with a sense of entitlement. Instead, it comes with a sense of privilege. Praise God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said by describing and explaining the parable of the sower? Matthew chapter 13. I think specifically maybe verse 17 and 18. Or thereabouts, he said, blessed are your eyes because they see this thing, and your ears because they hear this thing. There are many prophets and righteous men who long to see and to hear this thing. It is not given to them. Revelation is attributed to mercy. And don't forget, for you us to be recipient of revelation, we need large dosage of humility. So all those useless prayers we pray in church against our enemy, you pray against your bosses and your supervisors and CEO. You know, it's convenient because attention is taken away from the discipline of the people. Praise God. Instead of us to be praying against our selfish interests. Many of us, there are many believers out there full of bitterness. Many believers out there covetous, and we don't consider them as, you see, we need desperate measure in church to deal with our idol and internal infections that will not allow the glory of God to be revealed. We need to take responsibility. Many of us are like Saul, believers in Christ Jesus, a man of God. We never take responsibility for our error. That's the difference between Saul and David. You saw when David was a... David, I thought, committed greater atrocities than Saul. When kings were in war, David stayed at home. First error. Frivolity. And then, because you are positioned, Satan could set you up. And then he saw Bathsheba as he was dating. Because when you are at the wrong place, you see the wrong thing. And got tempted and went after her. God so did. God did not cover his wickedness. You know, if God wanted to destroy him, he would be covered. And then it was said that she was pregnant. Did you see the intrigue put into setting up Uriah? It was not like, it was not deliberate. It was, no. That is like committing a massacre, a genocide. The intrigue with which he took him out. But you know what? When God confronted him, he admitted and asked for mercy. Whereas, when God sent Saul to kill the Amalekites, and he killed them, preserved only one man, the king. Killed the animals, kept the robust one. Ah, this one should not be wasted. Let's sacrifice them to God. God is not interested in being helped. All he wants from us is obedience. And then came to God. Do you know that history has it that what's the name of the king again? Agar, thank you. Impregnated one of the female warder in the prison, and the children and grandchildren given birth to was Aman the Agagite that wanted to exterminate Israel. Praise God. Do you know that it was Amalekite that killed Saul? And that's why we need to realize the Amalek. You know, the guy that confessed and testified about his death was an Amalekite. The Amalek we fail to take out today. So when God says deal with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and pride of life, sin and be sin and wait that do easily beset you. We've got to deal with it. Praise God. We've got to obey God. God is, what heaven is doing is enlisting his army. God is raising his people. Building and stirring up our consciousness to the things that matter. That's why God is speaking to us about the glory and the riches of his kingdom. When other people and or some people in the body of Christ are dancing around the graven image, God is busy raising his kingdom diplomats that would take out the prince of the power of the air, that would deliver humanity from the corruption that is in the world because of lust. You must count yourself privileged. And you don't take for granted this mercy that has called us, that has made for our election. Let's rise up on our feet. I want us to look up to God and receive mercy. The clarion call has been issued. Our response must be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I receive the grace to obey you, to take out the Amalekites. Amalekites, strangers within my territories. Lord, I receive the grace to do your will. I receive the grace to listen for your instruction. I receive the grace to respond to your beckoning. I receive the grace to consecrate myself. I receive the grace to take charge and take responsibility for the riches and the glory you have kept in my custody. And let's receive grace, Lord, I will not fail you. Lord, I will do your will. I will do your bidding. I will do your pleasure. In my life, you will be glorified. Oh, Satakabashoto Kobosiri. Yekete Kobosoto Kobosiri. Yekete Kobosoto Koba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Yekete Kobosoto Kobosiri. Yekete Kete Kobosoto Koba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto Koto Kobosiri. Yekete Kete Kobosoto Koba. Yekete Kobosoto Koba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto Koto Kobosiri. Yekete Kete Kobosoto Koba. Yekete Kete Kete Kobosoto. Oh, Kobosiri. Yekete Kete. Oh, Kobosiri Koba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto Koto Kobosiri. Yekete Kobosoto Koba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our souls say yes. Oh, ba 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 ba. Yekete kete kobosedo. Yekobosedo goba. Oh, kobosede yeketeke. Yekete kobosedo goba. Oh, kobosede yekete kobosedo goba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto kobosede. Yekete kobosede goba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto kobosede. Yekete kobosede goba. Yekete kobosede goba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Yekete kobosede goba. Makoto kobosede. Yekete kobosede. Yekete ke. Yekete kobosede goba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Yekete kobosede goba. Makoto kobosede. Yekete kobosede goba. Oh, ba 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 ba. Makoto koto kobosede. Yekete kobosede. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you the glory. And give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The Lord your God is raising among you. The Lord your God is raising in you, a person, an individual, a people collectively that would not bow to the image of the kings of the earth. For thus says the Spirit of God, for in this time, in this hour, even this convocation, and even beyond this convocation, even this season, heaven is instilling in you doggedness in the spirit. Heaven is instilling in you the fear of the Lord. Heaven is instilling in you the spirit of righteousness, that you will be upright. You will stand. You will stand. You will not bow to pressure. You will not bow to the intimidation and harassment that are flying all over the place. That are flying all over the place. For there is a sound of music, instrument of music and harmony and flute and all sorts that is pervading the earth. It is completely filled the whole. Every sector, every system, everywhere in all culture. And he is putting pressure on your will and putting pressure on your loyalty. For thus says the Spirit of God, I build such solidity in you. I'm instilling such affront in the spirit. Such holy affront in the spirit. Such defiance in the spirit. That you will stand. I'm raising men and women who will stand. In the face of intimidation. In the face of harassment. You will stand. You will stand for the Lord. And stand for his word. And stand for his pleasure. And stand for his will. And stand for his purposes. For I'm raising you an army who will not bow. Who will not bow. They will not bow. You will not relent. You will not throw in the towel. You will not lose heart. You will stand. You will arise. You will arise. You will burst forth. Burst forth every constraint and resistance of the world. For I am with you. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be intimidated. For I am with you. I'm conveying myself in you. My strength. My love. My power. My solidity. I am with you. Says the Spirit of God. And again, listen to the Lord. The Lord says, I am with you. I've called you by a new name. Not the name the world has called you. I've taken away the seal of the world from your forehead. I put on you the name of the Lord on your forehead. For I instill in you a new identity. The word said you are incapable. They say you should keep quiet. You have no message. You have no word. For thus says the Spirit of God, I am the Lord your God. I'm giving you a voice that will not be resisted. A voice you will not be intimidated. I have put my word in your mouth. I'm raising among you solution makers. Solvers of complications of life. I'm giving you a new identity with which you would be bold and courageous. I'm exposing you and entrusting to you potters of creativity, potters of revelation. The wisdom that will stun the world, the wisdom that will stun Babylon. I'm raising among you problem solvers. You will be mystery unveiler. For I'm raising you to be oracles. And you will be gods to the pharaohs of this world. Says the Spirit of God. Thou be strong in the Lord Let the Lord of hosts be your fear. Do not say confederation to what these people say confederation. Do not fear their fear. Make the Lord of hosts your lover. Your lover. Your lover. I'm demanding more from you. More from you. Allegiance. You will make room for me in your heart. And make room for me in your heart. I'm raising you to be God pleasers. God chasers. And God pleasers. For grace, 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 grace. There is such light that is shining from the countenance of Yahweh. Paving way for my people. The Lord is granting you access, entrance, entrance into new dimensions and new realms and new frequency. New frequency in the apostolic and the prophetic. New dimension. Access, says the Spirit of God. For thus says the Spirit of God, my light is shining upon you and things will begin to happen. Chains have been broken. Shackles have been damaged. Chains have been broken. Oppressions have been removed. I am removing the body and snatching the yoke. I am with you. I am with you, says the Spirit of God.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.